Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Civilized Barking. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I am Zach Jackson. We're counting down to Sunday. The Browns play the Bucks. We're counting down to next Sunday when Deshaun Watson debuts. You might be counting down to the end of this season. If so, I understand. But we'll see. You know, we know a lot changes, including the evaluations of everyone involved, the evaluations of this series of moves that have gotten the Browns here. And then, of course, the big move that said, hey, this guy can fix it, and eventually we'll get there, and we will see how that goes. So if you're listening, reading, thank you. Let's go full cheesy cliche. We are thankful for you guys who are on board. We wouldn't have this without you. You know, if I didn't have this job, I'm not sure what I would do. So I appreciate that. Tom Brady and the Bucks are coming to town. You know, they're playing better. Do they really need this game? I don't know. You know, they're in the worst division in recent memory. So they should be able to limp their way to the end. But they're coming off a bye. They last played in Germany. Seem to have figured some things out. And they're scary because they got Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And the rookie running back, Rashad White, looks to have added some juice to that. So we'll see. We know everybody runs for 150 on the Browns, and we'll see if the Browns can keep it under 190 and maybe give themselves a chance. I have a special guest here. His name is Dave Zastadil. He's a former Brown. He punted in the league for 12 years. He does some work with the Browns radio network from time to time. He still lives in the Cleveland area. He's engaged. He's involved. And he knows some stuff. So I'm fortunate to know Dave, and I'm fortunate to have him join us. So Dave, welcome to the show here on Thanksgiving weekend.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy to be here.
Yeah, so we will go positive, we will go negative, but we have to start with an important piece of football business, and that is a shout-out to our alma mater, The Ohio University, dominant MacEast champs. Some are saying the most dominant MacEast team of all time, but, you know, shout-out to them for really, you know, being awesome all year and then losing their quarterback, getting it done, and they're going to Detroit to play next weekend.
Yeah, losing Curtis Rourke, everybody, you know, took a deep breath. And obviously you hope he was okay, but with the torn ACL and meniscus, unfortunately, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks, I think, in recent Mac history, unfortunately won't be playing in the Mac championship. But you know, that I believe his name's TJ Harris came in with very, very little experience. I think he was third team depth chart when the season started. And you know, he's a different type of quarterback. He runs, he can run the option, he's a dual threat. And I think you saw that last weekend for whoever watched that game against Bowling Green to decide the MacEast championship. Kudos to the offensive coordinator. He really, you know, devised the scheme based on his skill set. And Ohio University, as you said, they look extremely dominant. I'm pretty excited to see them take on Toledo for the MAC championship.
Yeah. So if you guys didn't know, Dave is probably the greatest punter in the history of the Mid-American Conference. I was the 1999 intramural flag football official of the year at Ohio University. So we both have our investments there, and we appreciate that. Dave, it's not going well for the Browns on multiple fronts. You know, I don't think all is lost, and that's outside of what's happening next week. You know, this is still a team that has some talent, even if it was misjudged. The run defense is just historically bad. That leaks to other things, and it, you know, it kind of spotlights some things that didn't get fixed or were poorly evaluated. So if you had to pick one outside the run defense, you know, what is probably most disappointing to you 10 games into this season?
I think besides the run defense, overall, I think it has to be the play of the secondary. the secondary, you know, and a lot of it was early in the season with miscommunication. You know, I was at the Jets game. Obviously, we all watched the season opener because it was against former Cleveland quarterback Baker Mayfield. And you saw, you know, all the miscues in that secondary. Yes, are there young players back there? Of course. But as you stated earlier, you know, I spent many years in the NFL, and to have continuous miscommunication like that in multiple games is inexcusable. It doesn't happen. So, you know, I think when you hear the coaching staff, especially Coach Stefanski, talk to the media, he's going to be very protective on what he says. That is in the history of the NFL. You know, we have media people talk to us. I mean, we understand that, you know, there's a lot of things we keep in-house as an NFL team. You know, and for obvious reasons, you don't want distractions. You don't want, you know, players talking and, you know, giving some cues to the opposing teams. There's a lot of reasons for that. But I think for me, early in the season, the secondary just was inexcusable mistakes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm glad you kind of framed it part of your answer the way you did, because, you know, press conferences don't determine games or game plans or anything, right? But they are the team's way to connect with the fan base, right? To get their message out and to promote their what they're doing, what they're building, all of that. So I think that Kevin Stefanski is right, and that a lot of times when he gives boring non-answers, he is protecting his guys. But when you have Miles now for 2 years doing what he's chosen to do after games, and you have some of the things that have gone so terribly wrong, aren't there times that Kevin could A, take a different approach and project things a little differently, or B, you know, does it expose a real problem if you're constantly having the same guy take shots at the operation after the game and it just seems to go on next week the same way?
Yeah. I think, you know, Coach Stefanski's in a position that every coach has his own personality, right? You have the Tony Dungy's of the world that did things completely different than the Bill Belichick's of the world, which did things completely different than the Bruce Arians's of the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own style. And over time, that style, whether you like it or not, is either going to show success or failure. So Kevin Stefanski, Coach Stefanski, really, that's just his personality. I think we can't want him to change, because I don't think he ever will. I think that is just who he is. And he always tries to keep the players out of the spotlight. He always tries to harp on things that they did right, things they need to improve on. And you're not going to get much more than that. But I think when you come, you know, switching gears like Myles Garrett, you have a first overall draft pick, a guy who's been through trials and tribulations in Cleveland, saw a winning year in 2020. And I think, you know, he's taken on a little bit more of a leadership role because of expectations of him as a player. And I think he's a little frustrated. And when you get a record of 3-7, you know, and your expectations are, hey, let's get to 500 or better when Deshaun Watson comes back. And I think that's pretty realistic expectations with a first year backup quarterback. You know, frustration starts to creep in. I've been in many locker rooms, and I've unfortunately been on many losing teams. And what you have, you know, what you have to expect from Coach Stefanski is to be a successful coach over the long term, you have to be a great leader of men, because there's a lot of different personalities and backgrounds in that locker room. And if you start getting players to turn on each other because of a losing season and you don't lead them through that, that's when you got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I see it, Dave. I think we're looking at a second straight year where the locker room's gone wrong. And look, every team has failures and shortcomings and adjustments that they need to make or can't make because of personnel, right? But, like, the good teams steady the ship, and it just seems like the Brown ship has just kind of spun further away from the dock.
Right, and I think that's what's going to be interesting going forward, is it's going to be a pivotal turning point in this organization, or it may not be. And what I mean by that is, when you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, and you look back since 1999, Cleveland really has never had a consistently proven quarterback at that position. I would say Derek Anderson for maybe a couple years shown a little bit of that, but it was only for a couple years. I think expectations moving forward are now, it's, hey, you put the largest contract in the history of the National Football League on one player that really hasn't played in almost 2 years. And what I'm going to be looking for now, because the season in my mind is pretty much over. I think they have like a 4% chance to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So these last seven games that he plays in, or six games, excuse me, I haven't done the math real quick in my head, but anyways, he has a group of games, you know, a bunch of games coming up. How does that team respond to a quarterback of his caliber? Is he going to be rusty? Sure, he will be. But you have enough games to say, okay, my offense is in a pretty good spot. Yeah, we'll always improve it here and there. But let's find out when the locker room responds to a quarterback that is a proven leader. And I think that locker room is excited to get him back on the field. And I hope it sparks something to say, hey, listen, if this season's lost, are these last many games that we're going to play going to be kind of a roller coaster uphill into next year? What are we going to do with that? How are we going to respond? And I think that's really what I'm looking for, because if you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers over the past many years, you look at many of the good teams that have consistently played well, Kansas City, Green Bay, it's because they have a consistently winning quarterback. And so when you have a Deshaun Watson, here's going to be that turning point. Is he going to right the ship? Are the players going to respond to that and build momentum into next year? And I think this is the first time in recent memory, long memory, I should say, that we have a quarterback that expectations are he's a Pro Bowl franchise top quarterback, and now we got to see how the team responds.
Yeah, and this is kind of my point of contention and worry, Dave, is like it's never one thing, right? But they said with their movement, they said a couple things. One, we're good enough to take this on. And two, it was the quarterback last year, and we get that fixed and we're good. And instead, you have the third year where continuity is supposed to show up in many areas, continuity they haven't had since you played for the Browns, right? A third year head coach and GM. And they're still failing in so many areas, and it reflects poorly on the state of the roster and everything. And it's like, hey, there's no jump here in the third year. So is Deshaun Watson great? Can he be a magician if there's some real holes in the building of this defense?
Yeah, and I think what's frustrating a little bit as a fan, of the Browns is Jacoby Brissett has played pretty darn well for everything that has been going on. First year learning a new system, coming in with a lot of distractions, knowing you are eventually going to be the backup. And you look at his stats, and he's played pretty darn well. There's a couple key areas. I think the Baltimore game, the Atlanta game, I think there was a couple things. But at the end of the day, you have a guy that's giving a chance to win. And I think the most frustrating part is we have a defense that now is just crumbling in all aspects. You got your defensive starter making comments about the team, the coaches, even practice. And what's happening is you start looking at, okay, where is the problems? And we talked about earlier in the podcast that the defensive secondary had its issues. I think they've improved a little bit. You have an interior defensive line that is just getting blown off the ball almost every single play. And you have some injuries at the linebackers. You got a new linebacker, Deion, Jones. You have Phillips going down with an injury, which I don't think he was playing up to his potential before that. So if you look at why we're getting crushed on the running game, there hasn't really been much of a big focus on the interior defensive linemen and on linebackers. And you read articles all over the place say, analytics doesn't focus on those two positions. Well, I think they're going to start focusing on them going forward, because if you don't, it doesn't matter if you have Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson. I was saying this the other day to a friend of mine. We were talking about Deshaun Watson. I said, if you don't have players around him, especially on defense, his last year in Houston, I think he was 4-12. Mm-hmm. As great of a player as he is, if you don't have the surrounding pieces, you have a great quarterback that really is limited on what he can do to win you ball games.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, Dave, I think anybody who not only remembers but just watches casually, right? Like, what's good special teams? Well, it's when Phil Dawson cuts one through the blizzard. It's when Josh Cribbs takes one 100 yards, right? Anybody knows that. But to someone who did it for a long time, a general question and part of a two-parter here. But first, what to you constitutes a good special teams unit?
Well, you got to have players that are willing to sacrifice, you know, many things to be great. And what I mean by that is not everybody comes in the NFL. They want to come in and start, right? That's how you get paid. There's very few players that focus on just special teams their whole career and really get paid. So you're going to have guys that are drafted, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds that have to come in on their first, second, even third year and contribute on special teams. You have to have players that buy into that. And you got to have a coach that really, A, knows scheme. He has the ability to scout opponents very well. And he has the ability to lead men that really, let's face it, at the end of the day, that's not where they want to be. They want to be a starting defensive back. They want to be a linebacker. Perfect example is Bart Scott. You know, he was undrafted. I was with him in Baltimore. He came in and started, and he was a monster on special teams. And because of that, he improved as a player in practice. He ended up being a Pro Bowl linebacker. So you have to have people that want to buy into that. And good coaches will always tell you in meetings, football is a game of thirds. You have a third offense, third defense, third special teams. And that special team will win and lose you ball games. Bill Belichick said the most important punt in the game, important play of the game is the punt. So you have to have all those things factor in to saying, hey, listen, if we're going to get good field position and we have to try to win games if offense, defense struggling, you got to have special teams, and that's a third of the game. So it has to be an emphasis on players buying in, coaches that lead it, and you have to have good schemes against against teams that you know have traditionally good special teams, like Baltimore, you know, I would say New England, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Is there one reason that stands above the others why the Browns don't have good special teams?
Well, I think, you know, that Pro Bowl returner that we signed in the offseason, him going down, I believe, to a major injury like an Achilles, mm-hmm. You know, that hurts you because you realize the only reason you sign a guy like that is because you had a hole in that position. So sure. Now you're trying to find guys that can fill that can still be impactful. Maybe it's, you know, in this situation, guys that haven't done it, you know, that much and you know, they're trying to gain practice every day, catch as many balls as you can. You know, maybe they're not reading the cuts like some of these Pro Bowl returners can. And a lot of things, Zach, to be honest with you, it's hard as a fan because if results aren't showing, you're going to blame the coach. You're going to blame the special teams coach, right? I mean, that's the first one you're going to blame. However, there's many times in meetings that I've been in where we watch film and the play was the right called play. And you have a player like, you know, I saw something, I think, you know, Ronnie Harrison pushed somebody in the back and caused a 10-yard penalty after a big return. That's not on coaching. You're told not to push them. That is just 101. So there's a lot of times that sometimes they go, you know, Coach Prefer's been in this business a long time. I got a lot of respect for him. I went up against him many times. And he is a darn good special teams coach. But at some point, if the players aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, fans don't see that because they don't know what's called. So a lot of times the special teams coach gets the brunt of the criticism when it's, hey, maybe we've got to replace these players in the offseason because they're not doing what they're coached to do.
Another two-parter. Do the Browns have a player development issue? And if they do, is that something that makes for a good fix if there are major changes to the staff in the offseason?
You know, it's a good question. I you know, every team's different. I think the thing with the Browns, and I think this does come into play, is we are a losing organization since 1999, for the most part. Maybe you take 2020 and 2017 as the exceptions, but we are a losing organization. A lot of turnover, a lot of change, a lot of outside perception of what the Cleveland Browns are. And when, you know, you have a player that signs as a free agent or a drafted player, compared to somebody get drafted in New England, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, it's a different culture that I think, you know, has to be in that subconscious instead of coming to the Browns, the old Bengals, you know, team, the Chicago Bears. And I think it's a culture of winning that every coach and GM that's come in here has tried to establish. And until you start getting that consistent winning program, you know, I think when stuff hits the fan, guys are going to turn and say, oh, we're the same old Browns as this organization. You know, I think there is a small percentage of that comes into play. So I think, you know, if this team and Deshaun Watson can come in and get a winning, you know, attitude and have a leader that leads them. And I've said all along, I think the Cleveland Browns over the years have lacked leadership. I just do. I just don't think they, you know, it takes special leaders. I've played with Ray Lewis. I've played with Larry Fitzgerald. I played with some really good players that just exude greatness and leadership. And I think when you have a team that's young with an organization that hasn't won and a quarterback position that hasn't been filled, it's easy to accept losing.
If you guys are listening, I would say rewind and go back and listen to that answer again. You kind of, the one other thing I wanted to make sure I ask, Dave, you know, when you're a punter, you don't know when Sunday comes if you're going to impact one play or 17, right? But you are around all week. And I think as a punter, as a kicker, as a long snapper, you get a special perspective on things, on the locker room, on the operation, right? So outside of those great players that you mentioned, you know, when you were on some good teams, and you were on some really good teams, you were on some bad teams, you know, are there traits or are there things you noticed as the season went on its roller coaster and as you got to where people were tired and games got bigger and all of that? Are there a couple of things that you point to that said, hey, good teams, obviously outside of a big-time quarterback and big-time cornerback, that those really good teams have?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is chemistry and the guys really enjoy being around each other. It's a tight group in the locker room. It's you have your leaders. That I remember Ray Lewis used to have Ed Reed over his house and they would watch up to 3 hours of film each night. And Ed Reed, he could tell you, he could almost tell you the plays that the other team was running because they put the extra time in. They were leaders. They were, you know, staying after to run. They would have their position groups out catching more balls. And I'm not saying that every team doesn't have that, but you had a continuity in that locker room. And I had it a little bit in Arizona when I was there with Carson Palmer, a quarterback, and Larry Fitzgerald. You had a group of just really good guys that cared about winning and that cared about the team. And they did the extra little things. Hey, let's go. Hey, we're on a road trip. Let's all go out to dinner. You know, Carson Palmer would, you know, obviously he has some money, but he would pick up the tab. But those are things that you do. And coaches, general managers, they get a feel. They got guys that are roaming the locker room to give them feedback. Hey, let's, you know, what is the feel of this team? And if there's guys in that locker room that are hurting you, you know, the Dwayne Bowes of the world, you know, those guys, they're going to find ways to get rid of them one way or the other because it's not helping them win. So, you know, there's a couple little traits, but I think at the end of the day, if you have a locker room that cares about each other, does the extra film study, does the extra things after practice, and they care about winning, it starts building that culture. But at the end of the day, Zach, you have to have a quarterback. It's a quarterback driven league. And if you have a quarterback, you can reload and replace a player here and there. If you don't, then you better have the best roster in the world with a subpar quarterback to give you even that small chance of winning. But you have to have the quarterback position.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Feel is such a good word. Like, I lit up and nobody wants to see me here on this podcast. It's a good thing you can't, but like, I just feel like the Browns, they don't have, you know, I think these guys in charge know what they're doing. I think they have things on their resume that say, hey, we're all right. And we've seen some bad Browns organizations. But I do think there's a lack of feel that goes into player acquisition, into player development, and certainly shows up on game day when they start hot and the endings seem to be similar. And last thing, you mentioned the quarterback. We all know that Deshaun Watson does not play outside linebacker or strong safety, but a high level quarterback can make all those guys look better almost instantly. And I do expect him to have rust. You mentioned it before I could even bring it up, but I do think it's not just the six games, right? Coming up, like, there is a chance that if he's as good as advertised, he raises the level and the fixes get a little easier than they might seem right here in late November 2022, correct?
Yeah, definitely, because what's going to happen is you'll start getting momentum going into next year. And then Andrew Berry and his staff will say, okay, where are the problems on this team? You know, not maybe from not a locker room standpoint, but there might be, but where is it on the field? And obviously, right now, all signs point to defense. Yeah, they've had some injuries, but so is the offense. Where do we have to improve? And that's why I think right now, Andrew Berry, even though the odds are against them, he would give anything to have a first round draft pick. That is how crucial the draft is. People don't understand. If you screw up a draft with a first round draft pick, you set your team back 2 to 3 years. So you know, right now with the draft picks that we have remaining, he has to fundamentally say, can I package those to move up? Do we feel that we have enough players at this position group that we need to fill to sit tight and draft them and develop those guys? But when you have a team that's 3-7 right now, yes, you got a quarterback that we feel and they predict is going to, their hope is going to be what everybody expects, you know, top five quarterback. But at the same time, if you miss out on these draft picks and they're not producing, there's only so many guys that will come to Cleveland or free agency unless you really pay them or unless they feel that we have a culture of winning. So right now you have a bad football team. You can't say anything except that because of their record. But now it's saying, all right, if this is going into the fourth year of the Stefanski, you know, era with you know, and Barry and those staff coming up, next year is going to be such a pivotal season because there's no way any ownership group is going to watch 2 years of losing or, you know, seeing the regression. And then next year, if things don't change, unfortunately, change will come. That's the National Football League. But yeah, I do believe that he's, you know, this organization is doing everything they can to fill and make this defense better. And if Deshaun Watson gives the momentum, I think there is going to be some hope for optimism for next year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the reality is that having Deshaun Watson and having, you know, Nick Chubb and Miles Garrett can help you recruit the right guys with your somewhat limited resources. But I also think there's a reality of when you're searching for a defensive coordinator, a special teams coordinator, the very best guys look at a potential lame duck situation and say, maybe I'd rather go somewhere else with more security.
Yeah. And that's exactly what they will be thinking. And that's a problem. But like I said, you know, a lot of people are calling for Joe Woods to be replaced. And obviously we don't know what the internal conversations are. And honestly, we don't know because we never get any feedback from the press conferences. You don't know if that is Joe Woods driven or if that's player driven. It could be both. But at the same time, if your defense is last in the league and you can't get anything out of your players and Andrew Berry is saying, hey, I think I got good players, then unfortunately you're going to have to find a replacement somehow, some way, if anything, just to shuffle things up and get these players to realize that, hey, my job security is not 100% certain. We play bad. If Joe Woods gets fired, that's on us. Obviously, it would be a little bit on him. But change will always come in the NFL if you're not winning. It's a winning league, and that's just the facts.
No doubt. A lot of mixed messages, a lot of bad messages from the building. But, Dave, your messages and your insights have been great. So we thank you very much for joining us, Dave Zastittle. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to wrap up this holiday version of Civilized Barking. I hope you get to go back. And really, we want a big picture. So even go back next week if you don't get to it ahead of Sunday's game. But Browns back on the field Sunday, and we know what next week brings. So thanks for listening. We'll have a live room after Sunday's game. And Dave, we hope to have you back sometime soon, probably early in the offseason as we talk about where this organization goes from here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Zach. Look forward to having to coming on anytime you'd like to listen to my old insight.
Well, I'm gonna take you up on that for sure. Thanks, guys.